Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contained.
Well, hello, 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 Atlanta. That's certainly where I'm calling from this evening. We've got the studio in Atlanta, Georgia, this evening, by way of Huntsville, Alabama. And it's been quite chilly these last couple of days. And as a matter of fact, we've experienced had some snow flurries all around. And I'm so grateful for this because by Thursday morning, I'll be back in sunny South Florida. And I know it's quite warm there. But as always, I do appreciate the weather. No matter what the weather conditions are, it's always a pleasure to have nice weather and a change in season once in a while. Because we're always, from South Florida, we don't really get to experience a great deal of change in the weather. So anytime that we can, we certainly appreciate having a change in conditions. All right, you're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. We do appreciate you tuning in tonight. Unfortunately, my co-host is not going to be with us this evening. She's under the weather, as I've been, and I'm just grateful that one of us are able to make it to the show this evening. She will certainly be missed by not being able to be with us on tonight's broadcast. We, as always, appreciate Audrey, but and she may, in fact, I know she's listening to the broadcast this evening. She may surprise us and decide to struggle in and say a word or two, and she's certainly not required to do that because of the limitations with her voice this evening. I certainly wouldn't want her to overwork her voice, so she deserves a night off, and I certainly wish her well and also a speedy recovery. All right, you may remember last week's show. We had a very good show last week. I really enjoyed that. It was a very good topic. The listeners also enjoyed it. I just thought that it was really, really good. We also have the publication that we launched on February 24th. It's out now. It's called Your Weekly Inspirational Thought for Spiritual Enrichment. It's $4.95 a month. It comes out every Sunday. And for those of you all that want to do more than just praying about things, and you really, it's a spiritual publication, and you want to actually find or learn ways that you can actually do some things for yourself that God has equipped you with, then I'm going to encourage you to certainly consider this publication. It's called Your Weekly Inspirational Thought for Spiritual Enrichment. And it not only encourages you to just pray about something, but it shows you how you can take some, it's thought-provoking, and show you how you can go in and take a look at ways that you can do some things for yourself that God has equipped you with. And I think that that's what it's all about. And that's a component of my Friday night ministry called Your Half-Hour Inspirational Program. That's a part of that Friday night ministry. So if you've got some time, if you would like more information on that publication, just send me a note in an email with a return email address to online@drjessewalker.com. Online@drjessewalker.com. We would love to hear from you just by sending us that note. So tonight's program is going to be a very, very good one as well. I certainly look forward to all of my listeners and my callers tuning in to this broadcast. Coming all the way from Atlanta, Georgia. And Atlanta had some surprisingly cool weather that, again, I enjoy. All right, we're going to go ahead and get started this evening with tonight's broadcast. And as always, we usually start every show out, and everyone that knows, we start them all out with a story. We start all the shows out with a story. And, of course, if you'd like to speak to the issue of the story, you can certainly do so. If you missed tonight's broadcast, you want to join us for another component, then you can certainly listen to the archives. They're available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can go in and listen to any of the archives 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's right, for the archives. Just before we go into tonight's story, I want to share with you something also, that we have a book, and my co-host, Audrey Blake, has a book, Fall in Love with Mean Mutual Enhancement, and you can certainly contact my office at online at drjessewalker.com for more information on that as well. And my book, of course, After the Passion, Now What, is also available at my store online, drjessewalker.com. All right, we're going to go ahead and get into tonight's story. Our character for this evening is Helen. And again, if you want to speak to the issue of the story, simply call us. If you're listening live, you can certainly press 1 at any point in time, and you'll be able to listen live to the you'll be able to communicate with us by pressing 1. Helen is a single mother in her late 30s. Actually, she's in her early 30s with 3 small children, has also experienced a few difficult relationships since her divorce some 5 years ago. Now, she has gone out on several dates that were set up by friends, but she's very particular when it comes to men. Now, again, here's a young lady in her early 30s. And she has 3 small children, and she's gone out on several dates that were set up by friends, but she's very particular when it comes to men. Now, Helen's marital years were not all pleasant most of the time. Her relationship was with a very insecure man that was non-trusting, who did very little to meet her intrinsic needs. Recognizing that she does not want to fall back into a similar situation, she has decided to make a list of criteria of what she is looking for in a man. Now, she refuses to sell herself short and will not give in until such a man comes along. She has made up her mind that if he does come, she will remain solo, continue to enjoy her young children, and rear them to the best of her ability. Now, here's a list of for the man of her dreams that include, number 1, she was looking for a man who is a true Christian. She's looking for a man who is a true Christian as demonstrated by his church involvement and lifestyle. Now, that does not seem so difficult. She's looking for a man. I mean, that's the first thing that's on her list. The very first thing that's on her list is looking for a Christian man that's demonstrated by his church involvement and lifestyle. Number 2, she's looking for a man who is available, meaning he is not involved with anyone else. Number 3, she's looking for a man who is not bringing issues of his past or make comparisons of her with his ex, any of his ex, whether it's an ex-wife, ex-girlfriend, etc. Number 4, she's looking for a man who is equally compatible with her spiritually, educationally, socially. That's what she's also looking for. Number 5, a man who she can have fun with. That's important. She's looking for a man that she can have fun with. Number 6, she's looking for a man who she has a chemistry with. Number 7, a man who will understand her children to be the priority. Sometimes people get that a little mixed up. They don't realize that the children underage children have to be the priority. Okay, she's also looking for a man who understands her work ethics and busy schedule. She's also looking for a man who will not put any type of pressure or make demands on her life. And finally, a man who will not be argumentative over the least little thing. In other words, he will not sweat the small stuff. Well, that's Helen's criteria for the man she's looking for to come into her life. Now, the questions are, we start out tonight's story with. I actually have seven questions. And question number one, is Helen being realistic? Number two, what do you think are Helen's chances? Are they slim to none in landing such a guy? Number three, could Helen find herself alone in the years to come? Number four, if you were a friend of Helen's, what, if anything, would you tell her about her criteria? And question number five, do you think Helen's standards or criteria are too high? Question six, has Helen lost her mind? Question seven, should anyone have standards or expectations as these? Now, again, we say this, please hold on to your seats and, of course, your computer and definitely your phone for the answers, perhaps, to these questions and much more, which, of course, brings us to tonight's topic. Looking for Mr. Right, Part 1, starting right here, right now, live on the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. And, you know, this, even though we're saying looking for Mr. Right, Part 2 is actually going to deal with criteria for looking for Ms. Right. So we're, of course, this show never has the intent of being gender-based or biased. I mean, because humans aren't, it's not the norm for humans to get involved with other animals out there, like the four-legged animals or bears or tigers. And we're only going to deal with Homo sapien beings, then chances are we only have male or female species to talk about when it comes to relationships, because we don't really get caught up into, other than the science of studying the animal kingdom, which includes our nature, we don't get caught up in the chickens and their relationships or gorillas and their relationships. So we try to come with the reason, that the creatures that have the ability supposedly to reason, to find reason and rationale in their thinking, and that's what we look to be dealing with. All right, we're going to go to another one of our individuals that are going to be joining us tonight, and let's bring in, see who's joining us on the air tonight, 863-294. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Who do we have with us?
You have Dennis on the air tonight.
Dennis, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate you coming in, and we certainly look forward to others. If we're to get to you tonight, we're going to do our very best. But the show is pretty much pre-planned, and that's not for you, Dennis. You are one of the first ones that usually are able to get in. We're going to do as best we can to get you in. If we're not able to get you in tonight, we certainly encourage you to continue to call back and make every attempt possible to keep trying to get in. All right, now, Dennis, tonight's show is looking for Miss Wright. You know, what's the first thought that comes to your mind when you hear, and again, I want to put this out there, that the show is not gender biased. You know, when looking for Mr. Wright, we're going to do part two is looking for Miss Wright. So what comes to your mind? I know you're already Mr. Wright yourself. What comes to your mind? Do you think that women might be thinking, not that we can think what women think, because we perhaps can't, but what do you think might be going through their minds when they're looking for Mr. Right?
I want to approach this in a different way.
Okay.
And I know what you have, but as a parent, I have a daughter, a grown daughter, who is looking for Mr. Right.
Okay.
And what she runs into are men that are in the church and out of the church that she can't really tell the difference. She had one young man to call her and ask her to come over to the house and visit with him. And he's a cook or a chef. So she said, yeah, I'll come over. You're going to fix me something to eat. And his response was, no, this is all about sex.
All about sex, huh?
All about sex. That's, you know, he didn't play it off.
Uh-huh.
He wasn't, say, nice about it. I mean, he was straightforward, but that's showing no respect for young ladies or women.
Uh-huh. And you know, two questions come to my mind real quick, and I'm sorry to cut you off, Dennis, but two questions come to my mind. One, this is one of the guys that were not, you're saying, if I understand correctly, were not in the church, probably don't attend church. And then secondly, my second question actually is, did he ease her into that or what?
Well, actually, he was one of the church members.
Okay.
And,
right.
No, he didn't ease into it. He went straight there.
Okay. And your daughter actually told you that. She says, Dad, I can't believe this guy. He called me up and he wants, you know, intimate. He wants to be intimate with me. Your daughter would tell you that?
Yes.
Okay. Wow. Well, I can see why you put that on there. But go ahead, Dennis, proceed, please.
So, me as a man, I happen to know the fella, and I really wanted to confront him with that, but I didn't. What I would say to families that have children that are out there, if you have a young lady that is approached that way, make sure that they respect themselves and don't find themselves in that type of situation or go to it. They know what's going to happen and go to that, because that doesn't help themselves and it doesn't help the young man. And I would say to families who have a young man to teach them how they're supposed to treat a lady. If there's a father in the house, he needs to teach his young men how to treat young ladies. And if he's treating his wife properly, then the son should respect that and follow those kind of footsteps. If he has a daughter, he needs to teach the daughter what to look for in a man, how a man should treat her, because he's treating his wife that same way. My father, he taught me a lot of things without teaching me. He didn't say, Dennis, do this and do this and do this. He would come home with things for my mother. He would bring her a dress home that he found that he liked, that he would like on her. He brought flowers home to her. He would cook dinner. He would make sure that we cleaned the house, that when she came home from work or from school, that she didn't have to do these things. So I would say to your listeners to make sure that they're teaching their children how to treat their future mates, or how to treat their mothers, or for the young men, how to treat their mothers and their sisters, and don't let anybody else treat them any different.
Okay, well, Dennis, you know, we appreciate your comments and your thoughts, and, you know, I'm glad that you perhaps did not approach that young man, because, you know, as a father, you know, you might have sometimes perhaps our emotions and our feelings can get in the way, especially when it comes to our daughters. And then I did hear you say that your daughter is an adult. So I think the best advice that you could have given her, just as you did with my listening audience, is to train them in a way that they will not only respect themselves, but have others respect them as well. Whether that be, you know, in their communications with their coworkers, with their peers, and especially when it comes to people of the opposite sex that they may have an interest in or that may have an interest in them. So I commend you on that, and I think that's the best way that we can do. And certainly for those of you all out there that also may be in similar situations, I think that's the best advice that could be given tonight. All right, we're going to go ahead and take another caller at this point. We're going to go, looks like all the way to sunny South Florida, 954-226. Thank you for joining us, and who are we with this evening?
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Rose.
Rose, thank you for joining us on the air tonight. Rose, did you have any thoughts in mind relative to tonight's topic or what has been already presented?
Oh, I totally agree with your caller, Dennis, about the way the parents, especially the father, should train the young man and also his daughters, you know. I totally agree. And as Dennis was speaking, and that's what I was thinking about in my mind, that in addition to training his son how he should treat a lady, he should also train his daughter and what she should accept and not accept from a a young man. And the father also, as Dennis said, should treat that daughter, you know, the way that her spouse or significant other should treat her. So when she sees that, she will know, yes, this is how I'm supposed to be treated, and then she would accept nothing else. I do believe we have to set standards, and we should not lower our standards to suit someone else. We have to have respect for ourselves so that others will respect us. Because if we have no respect as a young lady, the guys that you get with will never respect you. And I tell my students that all the time, especially the female students that I have, I tell these young girls that you have to respect yourself, you know, and don't just take anything from guys, because, you know, they will not respect you if you don't respect yourself. So I totally agree with Dennis. And I listened to the story, at least I heard most of it, and Helen, I think her name was, she set some standards as to what she will accept and will not accept from a man. You know, she's there looking for Mr. Right. And I think one of the questions you have asked about her standards is that, are her standards too high, you know, or is she killing herself, you know, something to that effect? You know, is she ever going to find that person that she's looking for? I really can't say I recall every standard that she had there, but some of them I do remember. And I think that, you know, in order to get what you want, you have to have some standard, because if not, you'll just settle for anything that comes your way. So you have to have something in place, you know, as to what you're looking for. She wants a man who is available, you know. Of course she wants the person that she's going to get involved with to be available to her, you know. She wants a man who is a true Christian, you know. Myself, I, you know, when I was looking for someone, I wanted to make sure that that person was in the church. And I know that, as Dennis said, the young man who approached his daughter was also in the church. And, you know, I do believe that some of them in the church are just as bad or even worse than those who don't follow Christ, you know. Some of them are really worse. But with all of that, I would prefer having one that is in my faith, you know. So when I was looking for Mr. Wright, I was looking for someone in the church also. So I believe, Helen, I think she does have it right, you know, putting her list, as long as that list is not outrageous, as long as she don't have 20 rules that she's looking for where, hey, nobody is perfect, you know. But I think all she had was 6 basic things, you know, a man who can have fun, or 6 to 10 basic things, a man who can have fun, a man who understands that she does have children, you know, and as a mother, she's going to put those children, you know, she's going to prioritize that, because the children are supposedly young. So the man that she gets with will also have to understand that she has young children, and she needs to spend some time with them. She needs to raise her children. So maybe a man who is also a single father, or a man who have kids, even if he's not the one raising them, would be a better candidate for her, because then he will understand that, you know, the children has to be attended to, and maybe he might even get involved with that. That's even better if he does that. So, yes, I know I'm going on maybe too long, but, yeah, I think that Helen needs to have standard, and she needs to look for what she really wants in a man. Of course, she has to know that she also has to give that. She has to give also what she wants. So if she wants a man that's available, then she has to also make herself available to him. She wants a man who's understanding. She also has to be understanding. So she has to give 100%, and he has to give 100%.
Rose, we appreciate those thoughts, and we're going to perhaps bring you in to be a featured guest, or start you with your own show. Rose, we're just teasing with you, but we appreciate your comments. And Dennis, was Rose on point with any of her thoughts? given the female perspective.
Yes, and I appreciate what she was saying because she hit the points right on the head.
And you know, as I think about this, looking for Mr. Wright, I think, and of course, let me put this out there for my listening audience. We will. This is not a show that will bash males or females. Again, I want to just put this disclaimer out there. It's a show that not gender biased. So, you know, tonight we're talking about looking for Mr. Wright, part one. And in part two, which is in the forthcoming week, we will do the show on looking for Ms. Wright. Now, you know, here it is, and I heard what Rose said. She mentioned about the importance of having a criteria or a list of what you're looking for. And she went on to say how some of the men in the church can be worse than some of the men who are outside of the church. Well, you know, it depends on, I mean, imperfection is everywhere. I can say that. And even when you find what you think to be Ms. Wright or Mr. Wright, there's still going to be imperfection. So it depends on what you're looking for. But I do want to say this. I want to say this. With Helen having her list, her criteria, and there were 10 points there, that she, 10 thoughts that she was really looking for, you know, the question also becomes, is Helen qualified? Is Helen searched herself? Has she done any evaluation to determine whether or not she's ready for Mr. Wright when he does come along? But let me ask this question to you, Dennis. With some of the things that Helen has said here, and Rose may have alluded to some of them, so it's a man who understands that her children, her underage children, have to be the priority. A man who can understand her work ethics. You know, she's obviously a busy woman. Somebody that's not going to put pressure on her. Somebody that's not argumentative over the least little thing. Somebody that won't sweat the small stuff. Now, you've heard of women putting together this long list of things, what they're looking for, and they've been by themselves for the past 10, 15 years. Do you think sometimes that their list might be unrealistic?
Yes.
Okay. If so, why?
Now, repeat the question again.
Do you think that, you know, you've heard of women that have put, first let me start out in case you were answering and you answered yes, but if, in fact, you weren't sure about your answer. Women have put together long lists of criteria, what they're looking for in a man, and preferably they're always looking for Mr. Wright. And even when they thought they found Mr. Wright, sometimes they want to change Mr. Wright. And so could it be that the list that they put together is not realistic? Because you're still finding that some of these women might be by themselves for the past 10, 15, 20 years because they're still looking for the same standards that they've set. And then Rose, we're going to ask her to respond to that.
Well, they look for Mr. Wright. They have an idea of what Mr. Wright is. They'll find somebody who is very close to that, but then still wants to change them to the way that they want. And so Mr. Wright is a person who is who can constantly change to what they want. It's like, you know, they get the living room furniture that they want, put it in the living room, and next week they change it around.
Okay. So could it be that, are you saying then, and we're going to give Rose an opportunity from a female's perspective to respond to that, could it be that when they found Mr. Wright, they're trying to change Mr. Wright, and then if he subjects himself to being changed, is he no longer Mr. Wright?
Well, they're trying to make him Mr. Wrighter.
All right, before you go on any further, Rose, give me your thoughts on Dennis's comment.
Mr. Wrighter. Okay. You know, I don't even know how to respond to this, but you do have females that when they find who they believe to be Mr. Wright, they try to change it. But you know what? In defense of women, I'm going to say maybe they're trying to change him to Mr. Wright. Maybe they found someone that is not quite Mr. Wright but has the potential to be Mr. Wright. And so they figure, well, okay, he's close enough, and I, you know, maybe if I tweak this here and change that there, then he could become Mr. Right. And so they kind of try to fix him up or try to change him. You know, of course, that's a totally bad idea. But I'm going to say maybe that's what they do. But in reality, what I believe they should do, if you want my opinion, I'm going to give it anyway.
Go ahead, Rosie. I don't think we have a choice. Go ahead. You know, we're going to push you for getting your own show anyway.
I think, and this is something that I think I would have done, maybe I did, is that, you know, yes, I believe she needs to have a list of what she would accept in a man or what she's looking for in Mr. Right. Of course, I don't believe that list should go on and on. I don't think that list should be, you know, 1,000 pages. Get 10 criterias, okay, and then put weight on them. Okay, you want a man that is maybe a Christian. If you are a Christian, you want that man to be a Christian. You want that man to be maybe financially stable. You want that man to be understanding. You know, some of the things that Helen has on her list. And then when you write your list, then I would say put weight on them. Okay, which ones are negotiable and which ones are not? Okay? This way, you will have a better idea, or when you find the person that comes closest to what you're looking for, you know, okay, this person is, you found someone, but your weight on Christianity was very high, very strong, but this one is totally not in the church, not a Christian. No, you know for a fact, you should not look his way. You should just keep going because that one had a lot of weight on your list. But let's say you had something on your list that wasn't as weighty, okay? And so you found someone, he's a Christian, he has, you know, some of the things that are highly weighted on your list, he has those. But the ones that were not that weighted, you know, he's lacking there. Then you know, okay, you know what, I can work with this because he has the standards that means the most to me. Then I would say you can, you know, you can accept that person because he has mostly what you are looking for. And listen, I believe that there are times when you do have to compromise. You get the high standards that you want, the things that are weighted high, and then you compromise on the ones that is not as important to you because you have to sometimes give up something, I believe, okay? But you're not going to give up the things that are most important to you. You know, so maybe Helen needs to just kind of put some priority on the list that she has.
Well, Rose, just, you know, I mean, you're saying here now, and I want to hear, I mean, I'm trying to understand something to make certain that there's not a contradiction here. You're saying that some of the men in the church perhaps are worse than the men outside of church, but yet you're encouraging the woman to have on her list the high standard of a high expectation of the man being a Christian. Well, how is she really going to know? In fact, I mean, anybody can, you know, carry a facade for a period of time. So how is she really going to know?
Well, you know, this is why you can't jump into something immediately. You have to take time, okay? So when she does find one that's in the church, she's not just going to jump right into a relationship with him. Hopefully, she will take the time in order to know him. And, of course, I know you're going to tell me, well, you can't know someone, you know, all the way. I understand that you can't know someone, you know, totally, but you can learn about them as time goes by. So give it time. Don't jump into it. Give it time.
Well, okay, Rose, we've got your thoughts on that. We certainly appreciate that. Dennis, did you want to jump in real quick?
I'm just trying to see. I was trying to see how long Rose's list would be.
I'm trying to tell you, we're going to have to promote, you know, if we know that she's coming on, let the producer know if she knows. And Rose, this is no disrespect to you. When the producer knows that she's coming on, we're going to be setting aside for her to have her own show. So, because she really can go on, she probably can get one of these men and be changing them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. But let me take some of the comments that have come in, and we've only got about 24 minutes before we start to break the show down. This male writes in, he says, I can't imagine what women are really looking for when they say they're looking for Mr. Right. I used to be that guy that was nice and sweet, only to discover those are the guys that get walked over and treated any kind of way. I don't really think some women really know what they want. Well, you know, and Rose, with all due respect, what you put it on the air tonight, you know, you said it was a bad idea for a woman to sometimes try and change the man over. You know, you want to tweak this or tweak that, you know, to change him a little bit. And maybe you, because you saw the potential, and now you know that if you do your tweaking, then he can perhaps be, now he's Mr. Right. So, I mean, I just find that so interesting. So, Dennis, is this guy's comment on point? He says he don't think some women really know what they want.
Yes. I feel that, you know, he's for me, being married for a number of years, I was very meek and mild in the beginning of my marriage, and I had to change, not the way my wife wanted, but in a man's way. My father helped me through that. Like, I used to bring all my money home and give it to my wife, and she'd give me whatever she wanted. And me and my father went out one time, and he said, "Let's hop and get something to eat." And I said, "Well, I don't have any money." He said, "Well, don't you work every day?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, where's your money?" "Well, I give it to my wife." He said, "You always keep some money, you know, because if you need to stop and get a sandwich, you can stop and get a sandwich. You don't have to ask your wife, can you get a sandwich? Be a man. Stand up."
And, wow.
And, you know, men who try to constantly please their wife or just be a doormat for their wives, the wife will use it up. Now, I'm not saying all women. Rose,
right.
I could see Rose not being one of those women. But but as a man, you have to have backbone. You have to have standards. And you do have to put God first. It's not to put the woman down or to run over the woman or just to be the boss of the woman, but it's something that you work together with. The women work with the man work with the woman, and you come up with a common cause.
Okay, all right. Let's take another look at some more of the comments that have come in. This female writes in, "For me, it has been a difficult process because I think as I've gotten older, the Mr. Right to me was a guy I met about 12 years ago, and I didn't realize that at the time. Boy, if only I could turn back the time and have a crystal ball to realize what I have in terms of a relationship. This tells me that we don't fully understand until we don't have it anymore." Now, I mean, that's a very interesting point. You know, there's the old saying that you don't miss the water until the well runs dry. Dennis, is that on point? Is that what you think this lady is saying? I mean, 12 years ago, she didn't realize what she had.
Yes, I think that's pretty much on point. And that's because a lot of people, men do the same thing, don't realize what they have until it's not there. And when it's not there and you start thinking about it, you say, "Oh, that is what I like." But sometimes women are in so much trying to change a man, don't realize what drew them to her in the first place, that she misses the point or scares the man away, and then there's nobody there. Then she said, "Oh, well, I did like that about him."
Yeah, that is a very interesting point, and sometimes you don't realize that until, of course, just as she said, you don't miss the water until the well runs dry. Now, Dennis, let me ask you something. Just in 20 seconds or less, what do you think that one of the things that, like you're saying with your daughter that you mentioned earlier, what's perhaps a few criteria what you would tell your daughter to look for? We've heard spirituality, you know, that part, how important that is. What are a couple of other things that you might think?
It's the way he would treat his wife or his sisters. Does he work on a regular basis? And how does he spend his money, save his money, and what future plans does he have for a family?
Okay, all right. So does he work on a regular basis? Is working one of the criteria that should be looked for when it comes to Mr. Right?
He has to have some kind of income coming in to take care of the family and not dependent on the wife to do all the work. I've met men who wife does work and they sit home. Don't plan to work.
Okay.
So she's going to take care of him.
What if she's making most of the money?
Making most of the money is not a problem.
Uh-huh.
But he needs to be putting into some of that. If he can work or can get a job. Now, if he can't get a job because there's no jobs out in store, but if he can work, then he needs to be putting something in.
Okay. All right. All right, let me take another comment that's come in to the studio. This female writes in, she says, now that I'm in my late 40s, I realize that what my mother was trying to tell me about a good man was true. I really met a couple of good men in my life, and I didn't understand at the time. Now that I'm older, there is a tremendous scarcity in finding a really good guy. I am having a hard time finding Mr. Right. And here's a lady in her late 40s. You know, and it's interesting that sometimes you're looking, you know, in the dating process, your parents who've gone there before you are trying to tell you what to look for, and we ignore those signs for whatever reason. And here, obviously, this woman is now in her 40s, and she's having a very difficult time, simply chances are because she did not listen to her mother's instructions on a good guy. She's had a couple of them. But you know what I would say to her, don't lose hope, don't give up. Just be ready when Mr. Right does come along, and have your criteria as well. Let's take another comment. Female writes in, I listened to my father growing up. Oh, okay, here's a different twist. She says, I listen, and maybe Rosa will want to comment on this one here. This lady writes in, she says, I listened to my father growing up as he often talked about the kinds of things to look for in a man during the dating stages. He pointed out a number of criteria that he and I both felt were important that ranged from education to chemistry in your relationship and, of course, what true love really means. Today I feel that I am married to the greatest man, my Mr. Right, and I thank my father for his wisdom. Now, Rose, how important is that? I mean, here's a young lady, contrary to the other young lady that wrote in and say she didn't listen to her mother and she's sorry she did not listen to her mother. And she missed out on a couple of good guys. But this one here listened to her father, and I'm sure if it had been her mother, the results would have been the same. But now, as a result of listening to her father, talking about the criteria ranging from education to chemistry, she married her Mr. Right, and it sounds like a positive outcome. Give me your thoughts, Rose. But we're going to ask you to be brief, Rose, you know, and then get you on the show, and then I'll come on your show.
Okay, I'll make sure I invite you. I'm very proud of her. You know, she did it the right way. And that father, he's great because he taught his daughter. I think if more fathers would do that, you would have happier marriages because the daughters will wait on the Mr. Right. You know, sometimes I think females just want to jump ahead. You know, they're tired of being lonely, and, you know, they just want what they want when they want it instead of having to wait. But I think this young lady did good, too, because she waited and she listened to her father, and she got what was best for her. So good job.
All right. Well, thank you, Rose, and thank you for not taking over the show because we only have about 14 minutes. Okay. We're going to take a final comment momentarily. But let's go back to our story for a moment, you know, with Helen. I mean, with this criteria, a woman in her early 30s, and Helen is relatively young by comparison, but she's got the three small kids coming from a divorce situation. I mean, really, she really needs to, and she says that if the guy doesn't come along, she will decide to just stay as she is and, you know, give her attention and time to her kids until they're reared to a point where obviously they can become self-supported. Now, she's saying that now, but something that Rose did mention, and I think that is worth repeating, and that is she says sometimes women jump ahead and because they get lonely. So then, and in that loneliness,
that may become desperation. And then in that desperation may be some errors that come along that the woman says, you know what, if I had just waited, you know, I mean, it could be a situation where she was lonely. She becomes lonely. Woman becomes lonely out there. She jumps ahead, like Rose said, and all of a sudden now she gets, you know, she gets involved with the wrong guy. And then a few months later, she, you know, when she's going through these problems with the guy, she realized that, wow, there's a guy that really, you know, there's a nice guy over there. He's really a nice guy. And she really, somebody is like, you know, I was trying to set you up with this guy, but you got on the phone. But her heart now is already somewhere else. So I think that's the part she may have been, I don't want to put words in her mouth, certainly. She don't need that, because she's certainly a woman without words, it appears. But the waiting part that she talks about might be important. So the comment that came in, the lady who found her, Mr. Wright, I certainly can appreciate and respect that. Dennis, do you think that when you said that men should train their sons, and even the mothers were in the absence of men, what could a mother do to train her son to treat a woman right?
Well, I was trained mainly by my grandmother because I spent a lot of time with her. She took me on the bus downtown, and she told me what she was going to do. And so when we got downtown, what I normally did was just jump off the bus. She made me get back on the bus and said, you always help the lady off the bus first. And then I started walking down the street, and she said, no, you walk next to me. You walk on the outside of the street, where closest to where the street is. And then when we started across the street, she got in the middle of the street and stopped. She said, now you come around to the other side, because the cars are coming from the other direction. She showed me how to open the doors for her. And so even till today, I still open doors for women. And, you know, I had to hold the door going into the building, hold the door going out of the building, help them in their chairs. So a woman can teach a man or teach a young man what to do and expect that of them.
Okay, I think that that's a very interesting thought, Dennis, and we do appreciate that. And you know what, that goes to show that the fact that you learned a great deal from your grandmother means that women can train their sons to set the criteria or set the thing right for training them so that they can have the respect for a woman. Rose, we're going to go back to you for a moment and see what your thoughts are.
I just want to piggyback on what Dennis said. And, you know, as he was speaking, I remember I took my grandchildren out for breakfast about a month ago, you know, and I have one grandson and there are four granddaughters. And my grandson, he is 7 years old. And as we got out the car and we were going into McDonald's, I told him, I said, okay, now, you are the young man, so you need to open the door and hold it open for all of your sisters and your cousins and all the females to go through. And he wasn't very happy about that, you know. But I think I was trying to train him. I'm starting to train him, you know, as to how to treat a young lady. And so he held the door open, and after we finished breakfast, I made him open it again for us to walk out. And although he wasn't very happy about it, you know, he still did it. But I think over time, you know, he will appreciate it and he will learn that this is one of the things that you're going to need to learn how to do as you grow up. So I think it's very important. And I think that females can contribute to rearing sons and to telling them how to treat a woman.
Okay, well, Rose, we certainly do appreciate that comment, and we certainly hope that he takes stock to that as he's growing up. So, what we're going to look at now is we're going to take a look at this last comment that we'll have time for before we start to wrap the show up. This male writes in, he says, I don't think women really understand the emotional makeup of a man. They seem to think we don't have any emotions and they can't be any further from the truth. Just like they like to hear nice, encouraging words all the time, so do we. I think everyone likes to be appreciated in some way or other. So my advice is, if you want Mr. Wright,
stop making it all about you all the time. Dennis, what do you think about that? I mean, he sounds like he's a guy that's really been hurt by a woman. And, I mean, I wouldn't say he's that far off either.
It's the point that he made is not all about you or all about the woman. It's not. It is all about the relationship. It has to be such that it's a give and take relationship. You know, there's times that women can do things for men to make them feel more manly and or build them up, and then the man wants to do more for the woman. It can be a matter of respect. Sometimes women disrespect men, and it has happened to me in my marriage. And it made me very upset, and I had to get that situation straight, because I'm not disrespectful, but if you think it's funny to disrespect a man in the public, it comes back in different ways. But if you build that man up, that man will be there for that woman all the time. And he's going to do things to make sure that she's taken care of, that he's doing things to ease some of the burdens or situations that she's in. So it's not all about the woman. It's all about the relationship.
I think that's a very interesting point. And speaking of that, you're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. You can catch this show and all my other shows in the archives. This show airs about 15 minutes after we've come off the air, and all of my other shows are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we have over 450 shows that you can go into and listen to for free at this time. So I encourage you to go in there, and I know that there's a topic that would be near and dear to your heart, and it won't hurt to just listen. Tell a friend about it. If you've enjoyed our show this evening, please let somebody else know, because some of the things that we've discussed on tonight's topic could very well prove to be beneficial to someone else who's listening out there. So take advantage of that, if you will. Also, I just want to mention something, to do a promotion for my Friday night show, and that's your half-hour inspirational program that airs every Friday from 8 to 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. We've launched a publication. It will be coming. It's already out. And it's only $4.95. If you want more information on that, simply send us an email with your email address to online at drjessewalker.com. Online, all one word, at drjessewalker.com. And we will certainly get you the information. And we'll also send you a free sample of the publication. Once again, if you want a free sample of the publication, just send us an email with your email address and the contents of that email. At online at drjessewalker.com. We'll send you a free sample of the publication. Also, let me just say here, as we begin to wrap up, and I'll go, and we've got another maybe 90 seconds before I go to the food for thought. And with Helen's situation, some might think that Helen was out of her mind for having so much, her standards being so high. But I don't think that there was anything really so bad with the standards that she set forth. I mean, looking for someone, you know, a Christian, if that's what you subscribe to, then I think that there's nothing wrong with that. She also wanted a man that was available, meaning he's not involved with anybody else. I mean, if a man is with you or with someone else and he gets with you and leave that other person, there's no guarantee he's going to stay with you. He'll more than likely, there's a good possibility there's a very good possibility that he's going to leave you and go off to somebody else. She's also looking for a man that's not bringing his issues of his past or make comparisons of his, of any of his ex, whether that's an ex-girlfriend or an ex-wife. He's not bringing those issues and making comparisons of his exes. You know, she's also mentioned a man who equally is compatible with her, you know, whether that's spiritual, educational, and even socially. A man who she can have fun with. I mean, I don't know anybody that doesn't want to have fun with someone. Somebody who she has chemistry with. So the criteria is not so bad. You know, somebody that can understand her children to be the priority in the relationship, particularly if they're underage children. a man who will understand her work ethics and busy. I mean, if she is, and if the guy comes along and he realizes that, you know what, this woman is busy for me, then that's not the man for her. She has to know that, obviously, in this case with Helen, that her situation has to be such that she's got to take care of her kids and the needs of her kids as well as herself, rather than letting the relationship take the priority. And then a man who will put, who will not, in fact, put any type of demands or added stress on her life. You know, she's looking for somebody who won't sweat the small stuff, even, I guess, when she makes an error, which, then I'm going to say this again, I might get in trouble with several of my lady listeners, but even when the ladies do make an error, which is very minimal, ladies, I'll say it like that, because they don't always see their flaws. But then, you can withdraw that comment. They don't see their flaws. But anyway, that was meant to be a partial joke. Dennis, let me ask you, do you think that Helen's criteria was something that she's lost her mind or bumped her head on?
Well, she was putting it all out there, and she just went, to me, a little further than probably what she needed to. But that's what women do. They put it all out there, want it all, and if they can get it all, they'll take it all.
Okay. You know, on that note, Dennis, I am really I've got to go to the booth. I'm going to thank you for joining me in Rogue as well. And I'll ask you all to let your friends and family know, and those of you all that we weren't able to get to, it's because the producers wanted us to just let it flow with what we have for this evening. I certainly wish my co-host, Audrey Blake, Kadoos on feeling better. I certainly look forward to her returning with us on next week. Now, I'm going to ask all of you be so kind to stand by as I bring the show to a close. And again, as always, the opinions that are expressed from my guests or other participants do not necessarily reflect the opinions that are expressed from this host. Furthermore, the opinions expressed from my food for thought are merely those of my own, and like those of my guests or other participants, should not be perceived as a replacement or substitute for the appropriate license, certified, or professional help in the appropriate field. The information presented is for educational purposes only and should be perceived as such. Now, when it comes to tonight's topic, there are many who would venture to say finding the ideal relationship is difficult, if seemingly not almost impossible. I would tend to agree to some extent. When the thought is presented in tonight's topic, looking for Mr. Right, one may ask, how in the world do you be in the process of perhaps such a difficult task? My personal views, for whatever they may be worth, may give some insight into things you may want to give thought or consideration. Perhaps one may start with an examination of him or herself by looking intrinsically into to ensure he or she measures up if and when such person comes along. Now, here are some thoughts you may want to ponder. Now, these are very important thoughts that I think you ought to think about. Number one starts out with, are you doing or have you done all that you can do to make yourself appealing or attractive, or do you expect to catch the most attractive guy when you fail to make sacrifices on your end? Have you considered your character, your personality traits, your grooming, your health, your weight, your diet, even your method of communicating, or do you really expect him to be at the top of his game when it comes to perfection? Do you make it always about you, or do you inquire into his issues as well? Do you give what you want, or do you give what you desire in return? Or are you always looking for things to be given solely to you? Are you friendly and inviting, or are you unapproachable? Are you moody, self-centered, or operate from a mode of convenience for you? Or do you bounce back from your mood swing within reasonable time after he's apologized 100 times, even knowing it was not always his fault? Do you always have expectations that the guy must always be the giver, or do you shower him with gifts and love tidbits from time to time? Do you consider his needs, concerns, his emotions, his feelings, or do you constantly dump your emotions on him? Do you respect him and give him your undivided attention when he's speaking to you, or are you easily distracted, engaging in other things? Finally, do you support and encourage him with his ideas and thoughts to enhance life for the both of you, or do you only want him to listen to you when you have issues? Now, these are but a few thoughts that you may want to think about, but act upon, that you may not only think about,
Let me say that again. These are but a few thoughts that you may want to not only think about, but act upon when it comes to looking for Mr. or Miss Wright. The question is that I leave with you all tonight. Have you positioned yourself in terms of your character to qualify when Mr. or Miss Wright comes along? You may want to think seriously about this one. In the meantime, I'm Dr. Jesse Walker, and that's simply been my opinion. I trust you've enjoyed the show tonight as much as I did, and please tune in this Friday and every Friday from 8 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for your half-hour inspirational program. Now, of course, if you choose to bypass Friday's show, please remember to tune in next Tuesday when it will be Should Parents Argue in Front of Their Children. Please tune in because you really don't want to miss this one. And remember, you must be 18 years or older to do so. Until next Tuesday or until Friday, I say to all my listening audience, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.